said that we have indications that Trump and Clinton are ahead in the state of Arizona. And that leads to a discussion, perhaps, of their opposing styles. It certainly is a very different kind of a race this year, and Donald Trump in particular has redefined the rules of what is permissible in a political campaign to the delight of some and the frustration of many. Joel Klotkin is presidential fellow in urban futures at Chapman University in California, and he can see some similarities between the situation in the United States and, I hate to say it, the situation in Italy. And he joins us. Hello, Mr. Klotkin.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us, too. Your piece starts, doesn't it, with the old Italian joke about Italian cooks. At least you hope that the cooks are Italian. Is that joke that is familiar with you? It's just running around in my head. Do I need to tell you?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, the perfect world is a world where the Italians are cooks. What you don't want is the Italians running your government.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a terrible ethnic slur, but it's gone around for an awfully long time. And of course, Italy has had a succession of governments, hasn't it, since World War II?
Yeah, about, I think, 62 and counting. But it's very interesting because Italy is obviously the country that, in many ways, invented the form of government, which our government here in the United States is based on, but it doesn't adhere to that system. I mean, basically, it's somewhat derived from the Roman Republic. But like the Roman Republic, the American Republic is showing extremely, extremely strong signs of stress. And what bothers me, of course, most of anything else, is we see two different forms of authoritarianism emerging, one from Clinton and one from Trump. Both have kind of Italian antecedents, and it's quite disturbing.
Tell us a little bit about Donald Trump, because I was searching and searching for a comparison to Donald Trump, you know, some figure from a recent experience, a relatively recent experience. And many people would suggest, many people would suggest Mussolini, but the more I thought about that, the more I thought that might be a bit overcooked.
I agree totally. I mean, Mussolini was a, basically, first of all, I mean, he actually was somebody with a, you know, fairly defined political position. He also built a political movement that it took a while before they did the March on Rome. And, you know, in some senses, Mussolini, came from the working class, you know, was a self-made man. Donald Trump, I happen to be from New York. Some of your listeners may tell from my accent. And the Trump name was big before Donald even emerged. His father was a very successful developer in New York. So there were a lot of differences. We had a bunch of Italian friends here over last week, and they keep saying Berlusconi is probably the best analogy. You know, sort of strident, demagogic, wealthy, obviously pretty serious womanizer.
And the media are obsessed with both men's hair, aren't they? Even for different reasons.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're, you know, basically, you know, you could see that. Let's say if we were talking about Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, you know, everyone could go take a nap. You know, Trump has enlivened the season, and of course, the media loves his presence, even though they despise him. He's incredibly good copy. And Berlusconi used some of the same technique. Of course, he also owned a lot of the media, which didn't hurt. But there is sort of this appeal that both Berlusconi and Mussolini made of who he's attracting. You know, after World War I, there was a group of people who felt that that Italy had not gotten properly rewarded for its role in the First World War. The Italian state, of course, was a relatively new one. People were insecure. And he appealed to, you might see a lower middle class, some middle class people who are threatened by social change. Berlusconi also, if you want to go to Berlusconi, he was allied with the very anti-immigrant Northern League, and so there was certainly the idea that immigration, which was certainly not an issue in Mussolini's time, was an issue in Berlusconi's time, and he also used it, as Trump has used it, as his wedge into the electorate.
Just talk a little bit about Berlusconi and ethnic divisions in Italy. I mean, did Berlusconi try to exploit that at all?
Oh, he definitely did. And we have to remember, Italy has very low population growth, very low fertility. And virtually all the growth, for instance, in Milan over the last 10, 15 years has been from immigrants. And actually, a good friend of mine who is from Milan, a mathematician, he basically made the point that that large parts of Milan, large parts of Rome, are now heavily Romanian, Albanian, African, and Italians. You know, really are. You know, there are many Italians who are not so thrilled with this, and so, you know, you certainly have seen, you know, this kind of reaction against immigration, and of course, in a country that's been, you know, fairly well suffering economically for at least the last 10 years, and certainly since 2007.
Berlusconi, of course, I mean, somebody who has had more than one day in court in his career, mm-hmm. and, you know, has a slightly different scale of court appearance to Mr. Trump right now, doesn't he?
He certainly... I mean, I would say, put it this way, Berlusconi seems to me to be a more substantial figure than Trump. Trump is something, you know, that sort of, you know, that really emerged out of reality TV. Trump is, you know, Berlusconi created a media empire. Trump really rode on media that already existed. You know, Trump is probably maybe even cruder than Berlusconi. And you may say, well, Americans are cruder than Italians. My Italian friends would certainly say that. But the reality is that there's an enormous parallel between these two people. Now, remember, it's a different system. In Italy, it's a parliamentary system. In America, we have a presidential system. So that probably is what brings the sort of warnings about sort of a fascist element, because in a presidential system, you certainly have the potential for an enormous concentration of power, even though that's not what the founders wanted.
Well, look, I'm very grateful to you. Thank you very much, Mr. Kotkins. Nice to hear from you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. The full piece by Joel Kotkin appears in the Daily Beast, but as you can tell, this is a very, very fruitful row to hoe.